2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, and it says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Father God, tonight we have come before you and brought many petitions of prayer into your throne room. But God, through the blood of Christ, we have that voice with you. And I'm believing as we have prayed tonight, great things are coming and are on the way. And Lord, I know that you have inspired this word in our spirit to share with this congregation tonight. And I pray, God, that you anoint your messenger to speak all of you and none of us. That God, that what would be said would be engrafted in their hearts. That out of it, we hear it and then begin to do it. And Lord, I thank you for each one that is here for the word. And I pray you bless them for coming and directing their attention, God. For it's not unto me they're paying attention, Lord, but it's paying attention to you. And we thank you and praise you for it, God. And we ask that you move in all these things in the name of Jesus, the church said. About midway through this week, I was in the middle of a telephone conversation. And as I was having that conversation, it was kind of funny how it occurred. I sort of was given the thought that God given me in the middle of it, and I was in mid-sentence, and all of a sudden it was just like God poured out a whole like bucket of water inside of my vessel. And I just had to take a minute and get it in my feeble mind to remind myself, help me to remember this when I get home. Help me to remember this when I get home. But it was a very inspiring thought to me that as I began to read about it and study it in a greater way, that it really began to help me. And what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me that day when I was on the phone was, we all have things that we consider our weaknesses. And everybody has a weakness that is different from the other. And we all have things that we struggle with differently than the person next to us. But even in our times of weakness, God can take what seems to be our weakness and begin to work it to be our greatest strength. I know that in my life, part of my testimony was I was in eight plus years of drug addiction, and God delivered me out of all of it. He set me free. He sobered me up. He made me to be a brand new individual. He not only restored my life, he got me back in school to finish college. He graduated me out of college and put me to work, and I was able to become a responsible individual. And I don't take that for granted, but I didn't start in a good place. I started in my weakness. How many of you know that tonight? I didn't start in the best of situations. I started in a place where I was hurting, where I was vulnerable, where I was doubting that God could change me. I was in a place where I didn't want to hear anybody's counsel. I didn't want to listen to what anybody had to say. But yet when God got in control of my life, he took what I would have never overcome on my own and restored me unto my strength. For the sake of time, I'm going to go through these a little bit quicker than I would have planned to. But I want to talk about some individuals that we can identify with in the scripture, that we can find that even though they were in a place of weakness, that God elevated them to a platform where they could be a blessing to other people. You recall in the scriptures about a man by the name of Gideon. And God had spoke to him and told him that he was going to go and do great things to bring his people into deliverance. But if you read about his response back to the angel that was speaking to him, you'll find that he was doubting himself inside that he was capable to accomplish that which God had set forth for him to do. Maybe some of you come to church on a regular basis and you know exactly what you need to be doing, but every time that God begins to move on you, maybe you're doubting yourself inside a little bit. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can take this first step forward. But I'm here to preach to you tonight. Until he began to believe in the confidence that God was speaking inside of him, he would have never stepped out to become a man of valor. You can read in that scripture, and God told him that he would have the ability to have the strength to take down the entire army as one man. How do you take down an entire army as one man unless you have somebody representing you that could take down a whole army without you? How can we overcome things in life until we have God on our side to do so? Amen. But as we identify our weaknesses, the one thing, the typical reflex is we want to hide our weaknesses. You see this in an external application when if you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, that you put some kind of product that isn't natural to you onto you to help change your appearance. Maybe you look in the mirror and you see what you have on and you don't think it's to the world's standards. So you'll go out and buy something else that you feel like looks a little nicer for wherever you want to go. So sometimes when we identify what we consider weakness, we'll see that when we look at those things, that we as human beings try to hide or conceal our true problems. But here's the amazing thing that God was revealing to me. God already knows my strengths. He knows what I'm good at. But the parts that keep me from prospering are the areas of my life that I'm not letting him address, if you will. Some of us have a calling in here, and we need to go out a little bit bolder in the calling. Some of us tonight have a song in our heart, but we're not sure if we're able to pull it off. Some of us have the gift of healing and prophecy inside of us, but yet we're afraid about taking that next step. Maybe you've been looking inside of yourself and doubting what's been going on in your life and thinking that you're able to do it. But I'm just going to get real plain spoken with you right now. If God could take a mess such as I and transform it into something for his glory, then I know that he can take anything you have, no matter how you consider it a weakness, and begin to make it your greatest strength. The kind of things I'm talking about tonight aren't pretty. I'm talking about when you want to get an attitude, when the world would tell you you have the right to get an attitude, but when you give it to God, it becomes your strength because you're going to be at peace instead of lashing out. What I'm talking about is when you doubt yourself into thinking that what you do is effective or meaningful to people, that you begin to put your 2 feet down, get established, and say, I know what I'm doing is meaningful. And out of that, when you be consistent, there's going to be a night when somebody needed what you had and are going to be blessed just because of what you've done. Another individual that I identify in the scripture is a man by the name of Moses. And you'll find that God was even trying to persuade him of his confidence by letting him see his hand in a leprous state. And then as he put it back inside of his cloak and pulled it back out, he healed it. He was trying to inspire confidence inside of him. But even after that, that's what amazes me. Even after that, Moses still doubted about what he was supposed to do. He said, God, I'm not eloquent in speech. I don't know if they're going to be able to follow what I have to say. But even when we feel like that we're doubting our own self and don't think that we can do it, even though God is basically hammering us on top of the head, telling us we can, listen, friends, when God gives you the confidence and you reject it, there's punishment to be had for that. I have came in feeling God and knowing I should have just let out a great big praise. But then when I walked out the door, let me tell you what I didn't have was confidence anymore. I was down on myself, doubting myself, thinking, why didn't I just do that? So I've reached a place in my life where here's what I've concluded. I'm going to come in and do everything he's given me to do, because I'm confident in the one whom I serve. Other people may not believe in me. Other people may not believe in my ministry. But that doesn't mean that I'm still not confident in the God that I serve. How many of you are confident of the blood of Jesus Christ in your life? We all know that salvation is there for us. We all know that it's a constant for us. And so here's what I'm trying to tell you. God is trying to get us to realize that if we have that blood-bought redemption in our life, that we have the confidence to walk by faith. That we no longer have to doubt ourselves. We no longer have to doubt our bodies, even though they feel terrible. We no longer have to try to fight these battles on our own. And when we look at faith in that perspective, if we realize where our confidence should be, then we realize that the battle isn't as bad as we thought it was. We read about the words of Paul. Somebody that when we read of his scriptures, he's still inspiring today's generation. Yet most of his words of inspiration did not come from outside a prison. They came from inside. A lot of the things that inspire us came out of somebody else's persecution. And while he could have sat there and let that be a weakness, he chose to let it be a strength to him. And I'm here to tell you tonight, what other people might consider as a weakness in you, what they may not believe in you, if you'll step out and do it, you're going to be an inspiration to somebody else. What I'm talking about now has nothing to do with the building you're sitting in. What we're talking about now is being able to be a loving, caring individual everywhere that you go. What I'm talking about is that when people speak doubt, that you counter it with the faith and confidence that you have inside of you. What I'm telling you we've got to do is begin to change the conversation. You don't need to let doubt sit in your house. And if it tries to sit in your house, you need to go back to the confidence God gave you when he saved you. Each and every day, we are encountering greater and greater foes. So we know that God is not changing, but we know the devil is coming to devour what is remaining. And I wish that at times that I could cut it short, get to the point, and tell you stuff that'll never make you feel bad or question yourself. But here's the deal. If we don't talk about it here, the devil's going to be riding you about it out there. If we don't acknowledge our weaknesses together, then we're not going to be able to stand together. There are some people that come to church that are simply hindered because they don't believe in themselves. And oh, if there's ever been a day, my friends, where coming together was necessary, it's now. If there's ever going to be a time where good-hearted people are going to have to take a stand over Satan's devices, it's now. If you try to seek help everywhere, I can guarantee you that even Christians will treat you wrongfully at times. But God's never going to neglect you nor forsake you. And when we look at all the times where He has spoken and spoken, the only time that we read of the presence of doubt is when it came out of the mouth of the individual God was trying to inspire. My prayer has been as of late, Lord, help me to not only defend myself, but help me to go on the offensive. But you can't go on the offensive until you are learning to guard what is considered your weaknesses. If you're not going to rebuke these things on a daily basis, if you're not going to put underneath your feet the attitudes and the negative feelings that try to come and attack you on a daily basis, then at some point the devil's going to infiltrate and mess with your mind. And out of those imaginations, you'll begin to do things that you never thought you would have done before. I never would have thought, and I don't know how I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it. I don't know how we ever arrived to where we are today. To the point where I have to ask myself, why does it have to be so hard just to come in and enjoy God? How did I ever think we'd arrive to the point where we'd have to say to ourselves, what are we not doing? And I also read about a scripture, and it's amazing to me that he put it like this, that he said, while you are knowledgeable of the things you should be doing, you're not grasping to the true word of God, and you're on the milk. When you are still on the milk as a young child, you're weak. You're not able to endure things. You have to watch over somebody that's on the milk all the time. You have to be careful for where they go and the steps they take. But once they reach the age where they should be on the meat, guess what? We shouldn't have to watch over them as much as we used to. It'd be different if we were just walking around as a bunch of babes in here, but we're grown. And we all have a responsibility to the church. We have a responsibility to serving God. This isn't just a come every now and then, on again, off again kind of thing. God wants to give you the kind of confidence that you're going to be able to endure in here and to be able and go endure out there. Sometimes God blesses me so much I almost feel bad about it. But then I realize the only reason I'm walking in His favor is that when I come across an area of weakness, I'm willing to surrender it to Him. Let me tell you about a silly story one time. When I was growing up, I used to love to play games, video games. I love to do that all the time. And when I was a teenager, that's all you would have found me doing. But I reached an age where God saw that enough was enough and it's time to grow up. And He spoke to my heart one day as a young man and showed me that it was time to get rid of everything that I had. And as I went on and didn't get rid of it for a season, I was hindered in church. Uh-oh. Oh yeah, I'm about to preach. Whether you want it or not, you better get ready. As I sat there for a little while and didn't get rid of it, I was hindered. I began to question everything around me. Why are they taking so long while they sing? Why can't they sing a faster one so I can get up and dance a little bit? Why don't that preacher cut it back a little bit? Questioning everything else around me instead of that which God was trying to work on me with. So when I look at where we are today and where we have arrived to, we're spiritually weak. Oh yeah, I said it. I'll say it anywhere else God sends me to. We're spiritually weak. If we can just barely get people saved, if we can barely get people to the spiritual gifts, then we're weak. There's got to be something more inside of us that's going to stand when we're persecuted, so that when we're persecuted and we have to be instant in season, we're able to still execute our faith in season even when we're under attack. We got to stop staying on the milk, friends. And I'm not serving milk. Milk is not on the menu tonight. I am not here to baby you. I'm not here to watch your every step. I'm not here to condemn you just because you fall here and there. I'm here to tell you that you better get up, you better grow up, and you better learn about what God's trying to teach you, because the day's going to come where the person next to you, you may not know, but if they're a Christian, you're going to need them to take warfare over Satan. I hope for the day where it stops becoming about cliques here and there, and it becomes more about him and less about us. I'm looking for the day where we join arm in arm and begin to agree together over things that, even though it's not your child, that it feels like it's my child to me. I'm hoping that I get such an inspiration of God inside of me that I'm able to take authority even when it's not even something that I'm battling with. If we can't learn to stand today and be strong together, we're going to suffer in the end. I'm trying to be gentle, but the Lord's not letting me. Oh Lord, let me read this to you. Sometimes we find it hard to be strong in what we face, because we cannot see the strength that we truly carry inside of us. And God wants us all to know and understand that we are walking with more than just our own strength, more than just our own thoughts, and more than just what we see with our eyes. Why are you preaching on this tonight, brother? Because most of what I hear, people are wanting more. They want more power. They want the authority to heal others. They want their children to be delivered. They don't want to keep settling for where they are. Man, I feel God. And I hear of all these desires. And this is all that I can say. I pray about what I'm hearing the people tell me. And this is what God is showing me. I can't dispute it. I can't question it. But one thing I know is, if we were doing all the things the Word of God said for us to do, we wouldn't let any petty things stand in our way anymore. I want to get to the place where, even if I walk through what they say, the briars and the thickets, that I pick them out and keep moving instead of standing there and saying to myself, I can't go any further. So what if something drags on too long? Are you still willing to take a stand when people finally come together? So what if it's not in your time frame or in your schedule or in your program or when you wanted it to happen? Are you willing to look past the earthly things to get to the spiritual matters at hand? Thank you, God. If you just want to eat, drink on the milk, guess what? You'll live. You'll make it. But you're going to be the most puny thing. You won't have any muscle. What are you getting at, brother? Confidence is strength to you. Oh Lord, when you were growing up as a child, no matter who it was that raised you, when you weren't able to depend on your own for your own self, you had a dependency on whoever was around you. And when you needed something, you yelled out for their names until they came to help you. Maybe you were sitting on the toilet not able to take care of your own self, and you said, Mom, I need you to help me right now. Maybe you were in a place where you weren't able to get up and you had fell down and say, honey, I need you to help me. Maybe you didn't want to make your sandwich for the morning and you wanted somebody to whip that up for you. You had to call out for somebody to get that sandwich. We cannot go on about all of our life just yelling for everybody to try to fix everything. There's already one source that's more than able to take care of everything, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. He said he'd want us to walk in prosperity. He'd want us to walk in sound mind. He'd want us to walk in good health. So if we're not doing that, guess what? We're on the milk. Brother, just sing enough to where I feel good. That's milk stuff. Oh Lord, I don't know if we're ready for this right now. Brother, just preach enough to where I feel something move inside of me. That's milk stuff. If you're just coming for the feeling, you're missing the wisdom and guidance that God's been trying to give you to spare yourself out of the troubles that are around you. So number one, might want to jot this down if you want to. In order for us to transition from the milk to the meat, we've got to acknowledge our weakness. The first course for success to anything is to identify the problem. Maybe for some of us tonight, we've got a good foundation. We've got a good shell of ourselves. We know that we're able to do this stuff. But then when it comes to the small things that begin to build up our strength, we're lacking. Maybe not as much prayer as we should be. Maybe not as much reading as we should be. Maybe not as much listening to teaching. Listen, even cutting other things out that keep you from it is also a service to God. We can turn into busybodies and come in here and it looks like church, sounds like church, but we're so busy just trying to make it look like church that we've missed the point of why we're even here for church. If we're just coming for a feeling, then you're on the milk, friends. The meat means you're not only coming to serve the Lord, you're coming to serve others. Scripture says that those that are strong, don't say it, brother, those that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So that means somebody's got to be strong in here. Uh-oh. No, scoot over, let me hide. That ain't me, brother. Let somebody else do it. I'm just here to enjoy the good preaching. Man, that guy's been doing a good job. He takes too long, but man, he's really been preaching the word. I'm telling you, the singers are doing great. They're singing too long, but it's great. I'm just going to hide behind the shield of somebody else. Listen, nothing's going to change if you're going to be that way. You've got to come in and be determined to find what you should be doing. If you're just coming to attend, it's not enough. God didn't call you to be an attendance marker. He called you to be a difference maker. Oh, Lord. We have got to learn that it is so much more than hiding from our weakness. In fact, I think people are stronger that will admit their problems. Because if you never admit you've got a problem and you're in attendance with me for 20 years and you act like everything's perfect, guess what? I don't buy what you're selling. I know you're going through stuff just like I am. I know sometimes you get up in the morning and you're not able to straighten up your back and it makes you mad. I know that sometimes that you don't have something that you can eat that's good enough to fill you up. I know some of us maybe eat too much when we shouldn't be eating it. I know that some of us are suffering through things at our job that other people are not. Our problems vary across the spectrum. But what we must learn and realize that we are not here just to pretend. We're not here just to hide from our problems from each other and pretend like we have enough to get through it, because if that was enough, then why are we not seeing mighty moves of God? Why are we not seeing healings and deliverance coming forth out of the sanctuary? That tells me that we're in a place of weakness, and it's time to dig into the meat. This is what the Holy Spirit was telling me, and it almost scared me. Weakness will not survive in darkness. You've got to be a strong-willed individual to stay ahead of depression. You've got to be a strong individual to be faithful and stay ahead of your body when it begins to ache. You've got to learn to stay ahead of the tide so that when God's presence comes in like a flood, that you're ready and able to go forward. I wish more than anything that if we could all pray this night that everything would be fixed. But I'm here to tell you some things are going to require more of an effort than just a one-night thing. God wants to see what you're going to do tomorrow. He wants to see what you're going to do on Monday. He wants to see how you handle your weaknesses when nobody else is looking. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. When we're in the darkness and it's just us and God and we're in the middle of the storm and nobody else sees what we're going through, that's when God is seeing where our faithfulness is. Your faithfulness is not just because you show up. Your faithfulness is not even when you step out to do something. Your faithfulness is, will I continue to do it even when it hurts? Faithfulness is a very important component of marriage. If we weren't supposed to be faithful in marriage, then when the first thing went wrong, you'd have the right to leave. Faithfulness comes in when things begin to be bad. It's easy to run away from problems when you don't want to deal with it. But it takes a strong individual that'll be willing to endure something and be faithful. Why? Because you're hopeful for something better when it's over. There are a lot of people that come in, it's just going through the motions. I can see it in their eyes when I preach to them. It's through one ear and out the other. It's not important to them. But then I realize that not too long after people receive it like that, that you'll find that months down the road, all of a sudden, they're dealing with things that are so much bigger than they are, they don't know what to do. And there's a difference in somebody that's enduring something and suffering than somebody that was totally unprepared and blindsided. You know what it is? It was harder for them than it had to be. Amen or oh me. Listen, friends, if we want to prevail over Satan, we have got to learn to gain strength in God. bar none. No other way to put that. It starts with the Son, but it continues with the Spirit. And we've got to seek more for His Spirit to not only be in the midst of us, but to begin to cause us to take action for the needs that are around us. If we continue just to come in and hide from ourselves, then we can't obey Him. And if we don't obey Him, one day we're going to arrive to a place that we'll dread coming to. One day we'll come in and wonder what we're even doing here. And God don't want us as individuals or as a body to ever be dissatisfied with Him, to ever be dissatisfied where we attend. He wants us to learn where our strength comes from. I'm inspired by the individual that was named Samson. Samson failed even though he knew that he had great strength. He gave away the one thing that he had good for him. And maybe you felt like in your life that you have done a lot of good things, but maybe some things have happened and you never feel like that you could get back up and be who you once were. But even as Samson stood in his last day, I think he finally realized where his true strength came from.